Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Welcome back, Star Wars fans. This is the Star Wars Universe Podcast, and myself and Ashley Coffin are here to talk about The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 3. All that and more after commercial break we have no control over.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back. I'm Matthew Fox, your host. I'm joined, as always, for all things Mandalorian by Ashley Coffin. Ashley, what do we think of this episode?
I liked it. I loved parts of it. I liked other parts of it. It was a much longer episode than the others. Mm-hmm. Which was fun, but I'm very partial to the action, and I thought that the beginning sequence was really amazing, and then it blew ball me over to this slow story. I was like, oh, which did pick up and ended up being really, really interesting. But I'm glad that we jumped back to where we left off. I thought we weren't going to do that.
Yeah, I feel like they did a good job because. I mean, I absolutely loved every single minute of Dr. Pershing and his journey and just getting to explore, like, what happened to the what happened to the people who are in the Empire? How are they settling in? How is this all working? But it was slow. It was a little slow. A couple things I read said this is the Andorification of Mandalorian, and I'm here for it. But I think if we had just gotten that for a full episode, I and six other people would have loved it. And I think most people, for good reason, would have been like, where's Mando? You know?
Yeah.
And so I am glad that we get this awesome action scene at the beginning that also pays off a lot of Mando's story with Bo-Katan. And then some of that at the end with this kind of like deep look at the crime and punishment system of the New Republic in the middle.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, you're seeing the dark side of what the Republic is doing with, you know, brain scrambling and things like that. And that's not very good. But, it's hard to look at situations like this and think of, you know, like, okay, it's good. They're trying to reintegrate people who worked for the Empire who, were not Sith lords and evil and get them back into society. And it didn't look like a horrible place to live. But it is interesting that we even went there. I kind of loved that we're exploring this whole like deep side story of what's going on in Star Wars. Like, I don't think I'd ever see something like that. And I just thought it was really cool.
That makes sense. That makes total sense. So first of all, I do think it's awesome. And let's kind of just start with that first part of Yin and Bo-Katan.
Oh my God.
We pick up right after they have been in the waters. And first of all, we learned something that there was some internet debate about. And my friend Danielle, written the Star Wars, turns out she was right. He did just fall. There was no like...
Ken was like, something grabbed him. I'm like, I don't think so.
You know, and Bo-Katan says it's because there was some kind of seismic activity and she doesn't know. I'm a little disappointed by that, because what I would have loved is if, like, after all of his, I know the way, I know the creed, I know true Mandalore, she'd been like, okay, Do you know that there's a 30-foot drop after you? Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah, oh, well.
But great.
Either way, we get that. And I really love the way their relationship is developing. She has this great line of, okay, I acknowledge that you have bathed in the waters. I validate, I witness that you are redeemed. Can we go now?
Yeah. And I'm like, but you did too.
Yeah. Which will come up for sure.
I do and wish that she told him about them, that she saw the creature.
Yeah. Why do you think she, because clearly she was asking about it when she's saying, like, did you see anything living down there? Why do you think she held back?
Maybe she didn't want to feed into what he's already believing so hard in. Maybe just holding mm-hmm. that back a little bit by, you know, for her, that was probably a big deal.
Yeah.
But she still doesn't want to feed into the whole other side of it.
Right. Yeah, I can see it going in a bunch of ways. I think that's definitely a thing that could be there. Part of me thinks that she's already a little sensitive that, like, he doesn't. That he doesn't take her seriously as a Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And so he might kind of be like, oh, come on, no. Like, he might, like, think she's crazy for thinking that. Forgive me for using that word, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also think the flip side of it could be, like, there's a lot of myths in the Mandalorians about, like, you know, in the same way that, like, this person who shall wield the Darksaber shall be the ruler. I'm using the kind of the yeah, anyway. But that also there's some talk about, like, the person who could ride a mythosaur. Like, I think I don't think it was that, like, that's a prediction of who will rule. It's that when there were mythosaurs, the Mando, the person who, you know, would lead the Mandalorians, I think it's actually called the Mandalore, that person would ride a mythosaur. So I also don't know if maybe this is her, like, well, I didn't get the saber, but I don't want to tell. If I tell him about the mythosaur, he's going to ride the damn mythosaur because he's got main character syndrome. So I need to keep that with myself, and just I want to be the one to write it.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I forget how Dune Star Wars is sometimes. There's things that I don't know. But
it really
that is very interesting. Like, I wouldn't have thought that to be, you know, a reasoning why. But yeah, I mean, sis needs to keep some cards in her pocket.
Right? Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's fair. I do also appreciate that although she's kind of making fun, not even making fun of him, but she kind of has it exasperated, like, come on, dad, you did the thing, let's go. Mm-hmm. When she says, like, can we go now? There is the moment where she talks about, you know, her family and how they died, you know, fighting protecting Mandalore. And Din responds, this is the way. And she responds, this is the way. And it felt like a moment where, if this was the two of them last season or even the beginning of this season, I think she would have been like, come on, don't use that the way stuff. You know, this is a serious thing. I think here she was like, no, I get that this is his way of showing respect for what I'm talking about. And I'm going to give that back.
Yeah, I feel like they are finally born, like, have a little bond. And I really like it. Like, I just, mm-hmm. I was worried for her during the fight. I was like, they're not going to, because her story, this is past her story in anything, right? Everybody's kind of like past their stories. So I was super worried for some reason. I can't wait to see, especially where we end up in this episode, where we're going with her. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, when you have nothing, maybe even the cult sounds fun.
It's a thing. I think where she goes there is going to be really fun. So let's talk about that fight scene. What'd you love about it?
So I love the planes and the just the way that the TIE destroyers, you said?
TIE interceptors,
which is new to me, but they still obviously can't shoot because, as usual, they're right behind them through every scene and they never hit them once, which is just amazing at this point. But I don't know. They just that look like the Ireland, like Northern Ireland back setting, and they're just flying around. Mm-hmm. It was everything my little action heart loved and needed.
Yeah. One thing I loved, and this is a dumb nitpick, but one thing that, you know, outer space is fundamentally different than in an atmosphere, and vehicles travel differently. And so all of the kind of like banking turns and things like that you do in most Star Wars, that doesn't actually make any sense in outer space. And that's part of why Battlestar Galactica was so good in that it was one of the first to be like, I mean, Babylon 5 was also one of the first to show, like, no, this is how ships would actually, you know, move in space. And here, so they were like, no, okay, if we're going to do that, then let's do it in an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Now we're much more like fighter jets. This is Top Gun. It's not science fiction.
Well, doesn't the Millennium Falcon do that all the time?
Yeah. And again, they're having them do it more in atmospheres now, which is awesome. Because, yeah, when it does it in Empire, it looks phenomenal, but it makes no sense physics-wise.
No, don't think about physics. We're talking about Star Wars. What are you doing?
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so many of the things from the, like, dropping him so that he, like, them going back so that he can get into a ship so that he can join the fight. When she said that, I thought that was ridiculous, but they made it work so well with him with the jetpack and all.
I got nervous even in that point. I was like, no, watch out for the castle, because they were shooting at him. And then when they came back around and just demolished it, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
It was awful. And I think it also really showed how alone she was, because you're sort of like, well, aren't any of her people left? Aren't there some, like, you know, air defense weapons or, like, other people in
what
ships
happened to her friends?
Yeah, I mean, she said that they all left when she couldn't bring back the Darksaber, and I thought, in a small way, that moment really drove that home.
It's just a shame, because the Mandalorians with her at the last episode of Mandalorian season 2 seemed so on her side, and I mean, they saw what happened, but they still seemed like they stuck by her. So I don't know. I just wish there was a little bit more dialogue on exactly why.
Yeah,
you know, just, oh, I didn't have the Darksaber anymore, so then why aren't they all going after Din to be like, well, you're our leader now, lead us.
Yeah, my hope is that they that those folks who were with her, they haven't turned their back on her. They're just like, well, we don't want to go live on an abandoned moon in that spooky old castle with you, but we're going to hang out over here where there's, like, you know, stuff to do. But when you need us again, just call us. And she just, like, they were too far away for them to come join this battle in time.
I like
that's
that.
My hope.
I like that narrative.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. So anything else on that battle scene before we move into, all right, so let's talk about amnesty programs. I know this was kind of slow for you. What do you think, though, of the overall story we got?
I think by the time we got to the end of where we were going, I realized what they were doing and I was more on board. But for them to just stop, and I'm like, oh, I know I remember this character and, you know, the things that he was doing in the previous season. But I didn't have such a connection with him to understand immediately what was going on and, like, the things he was talking for. But then, you know, the cloning stuff and the Republic Bandit. So it was interesting to just see them trying to, the female character trying to trick him, because we knew that she is no good.
Yeah. Well, she's Elia Kane, communications officer. And yeah, she was on Moff Gideon's ship with him. He had been taken prisoner a while before, but we knew that she was with Moff Gideon. And I thought they played that out so well, because if you were thinking the whole time that she was bad, then you're a lot more ahead of me, because I was honestly not sure. Well, I thought it was going to go one of three ways. One, that she was honestly trying to help him, although they did some kind of music that made me think, okay, she's not entirely, you know, on the up and up. And she was, I mean, she was leading him by the nose so, and I felt so bad for him, but also like, dude, you're getting so manipulated. Or I thought at first she might just be a narc. And this might just whole thing be a, like, really kind of, you know, not great entrapment style, a narc situation, which does turn out to be true. But then there's that third level of, no, it does seem that she's probably doing something a lot more shady when she turns the dial all the way up on that. It's really not a mind flayer, we promise device.
We promise. I did it too. I'm great. Like, what, yeah. Republic? What are you doing?
Yeah, I want to talk about his story, but just in what did you think of what the Republic was doing with this whole thing with the former Empire people? Because it not great.
No, it's not great. It's not great. And at the same time, I also don't know what you do to make sure that these people are not still trying to take down the Republic, which unfortunately Dr. Penpusher was not trying to, but, you know, the cloning thing's not great. Maybe we shouldn't do that. And I really did love the way that he tricked the robot into telling him it was okay. Smart yeah. people. I love smart people.
You know, if there's anything that this episode proved to me, it's that there is going around right now, especially in like huge corporations, where they're like, why don't we just build AIs and those can be the counselors for our workers? And that way we don't have to hire therapists. And if ever an episode did a perfect job explaining why AI therapy is a terrible, terrible idea, like, you could see how upset he was. But of course, the robot couldn't sense that.
Can't see it.
The droid couldn't sense it. And it was just not a fan. I get where the Republic is New Republic is coming from. I think a lot of what they're doing is a good thing. I think the idea is the rehabilitation. I think giving him a chance to give this talk about like the work he was doing and why mm-hmm. it was important is great. The first thing that made me really kind of like perk my ears up about here's a problem. First was that when they gave him that little badge that helps him find others like him, but also lets everybody, it's kind of like the pink triangle, lets everyone right. know like he's the bad one and you see people reacting to it. But it was also when all of them introduced themselves to each other by their numbers.
Right? I was like, stop calling me by my number. I have a name. Why are we doing yeah. this?
Yeah. And she has this moment that feel like, at first I was like, is that just because they're former empire and that's what they're used to? But no, like they have names. They mm-hmm. people called him by, I think called him Dr. Pershing beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the fact that it felt so transgressive and like she's making a real connection when Elia told him her name and said, I'm Elia Kane, communications officer. It was just like, oh, it hit so home that like, I get where he was coming from, you mm-hmm. know?
Oh, yeah. And I also saw right through her manipulations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Little evil.
Did you know that from the beginning that she was the one who left those biscuits?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he said yeah. he liked the biscuits, right?
Yeah.
It was something along those lines. And of course, she would get them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on to her from the second she had a, you know, a triangle mm-hmm. of sadness between her brow.
Yeah.
I was like, he knows you.
I wanted her to not be terrible, but yeah, there it was. And it's funny because the way he talks, like when I stop and think about it and I realize, yeah, given everything that's been done with it and all the potential harms, shutting down cloning is probably the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what he says about like, you know, helping parents to, you know, craft a child that's a genetic material of both of them. He says the best of both of them. And so that's like, eugenics. But also I've worked with enough couples dealing with infertility to some extent who would kill for that kind of technology.
Yeah.
And I feel like I do come down at the end of like, no, it's probably the right thing to shut it all down. And certainly let's not trust the Imperial guy to do it. But I at least 100% believe that he thinks he is doing the right thing.
Yeah. And that's the reason that he's in the situation that he is because he does think he's doing the right thing. And no matter what, if we had that kind of technology, someone's going to use it for bad. And it's probably going to be worse than any good that it can do.
Yeah.
And it's a really hard thing to think about and say, but those are the things that we have to shut down. And unfortunately, I don't feel like our society and scientists will do that if we ever get to that technology point.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Rich people are already cloning their dogs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just such a mess. And I just love, though, the way that it's shown, like, I'm always in love with the story of, like, what happens when a rebellion has to rule, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, that idea of, like, you know, fighting is easy, but ruling is harder. And so just seeing how quickly the bureaucracy has hit, you know? Because that one guy who... Maybe he could have some decision-making power, maybe he isn't, but he's not saying, like, I agree with this decision or I disagree. He's just saying, well, you have to file this form and then that form. It's just the, like, I'm captured by the bureaucracy. There's no actual engagement with should this be done or not.
Yeah, and, I mean, it goes down to every little thing that we go through as a society. And when you throw the Star Wars things over, it can be really easy to just use that to see things in a different perspective, but it's not too different from where we're at now, which is crazy to say, because we never think we'd be at a weird future like this where these things are possible.
I mean, again, to think about like the way people can take like a lot of propaganda is taking an idea that sounds reasonable and then using it to justify the unreasonable. And so when she says to him in terms of like why maybe he should go against the orders to not touch cloning, and she says, and this is the quote, following orders blindly is how we got in trouble in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that hit me so hard because like, yeah, like, you know, I was just following orders like ever since Nuremberg we've accepted is not a defense. Like you have a moral obligation to refuse to follow an order that you know to be inhumane, to know to be wrong. And so the way she uses that, I think that to me was more than anything where I was like, I had the manipulation sense that you did, but I wanted to believe, but that where I was like, oh, no, this person's up to no good.
No good. I was like, even for, it was from the beginning shot when they showed her in her little imperial outfit. I was like, nope. No.
Yep.
Thank goodness for the previously on this week, because it did help me a lot.
Yeah. The other thing that I really loved was that first scene at the party, right after he's given that speech, because first, it's a small little thing, but I hate when you're at parties like that and you're having an interesting conversation with one person and a new person comes in and just is like that's the time where it is completely okay to interrupt whatever conversation was happening and be like, no, now you're going to talk about my thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So watching him not like bathe in the adoration, but keep trying to go back to the first person he was speaking with was so good.
And all then, those people were horrible.
Oh, they were. And it was such that Andor moment of we try not to get involved, you know, in this galactic empire, rebellion, New Republic. Who can tell the difference? Like one was blowing up planets and one wasn't. I think I can tell the difference, but
I guess you didn't even have to pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nice little bit of social commentary there.
I actually really liked the scene where she took him to the center, like of the botanical. That wasn't the botanical garden, whatever it was with the rock that was on Coruscant.
Oh, yeah.
Because Coruscant is just this gorgeous city. It reminds me of like the Fifth Element. And I'm like, gosh, if that's what the future looks like, I would really like to see it.
Yeah.
But to have that rock there, and this is the only part of the planet that's still a piece of nature. I don't know why. I just thought that was really cool.
It really was. I think it's been mentioned in books, but I think that's the first time it's ever been seen on screen. And it's such a nice idea. And as someone who grew up in New York City, you'd think that I'd want that. I've come to find that like being under a tree every now and then is kind of nice too. And so the idea that the only piece of like nature that's still there is this dead rock with nothing growing on it got to me a bit. But yeah, it was a nice kind of little moment, and also how much he would respond to it. And then the way she pranks him
in terms
of like, who's that? There's no sign, you know? It's like, on the one hand, I feel like that's a good way to convince him not to trust his instincts.
Right?
So it's kind of like she's taking a big risk there. But I think in the end it works, because I think it gets him to like, you know, she's teasing him a little bit. But I think it gets him to be like, oh, okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'll just listen to you going forward.
Yeah. I remember when we were in Rome and I thought I could take my gelato down and sit on the corner of the Trevi fountain and eat it. It was very much like that scene. It was just whistles. It was two people blowing whistles in my face, yelling at me in Italian. And I was like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it was like, no, you can't. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll take one foot this way and I'll sit on this. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. So that scene made me laugh. I was like, oh, I'm triggered.
Yeah, it's hard being a tourist, you know?
Yeah. Like,
it's hard.
Well, speaking of tourists, them sneaking out of that place, I was so frustrated with him the entire time. I'm like, this is how I knew that she was bad, because you wouldn't take the one person who looks more guilty than anyone you've ever met to try to sneak out of somewhere and to risk that. It's like, you knew you had to have something in your pocket to risk going out with this guy who looks at every person he walks by in the eye with this like worried face. I'm like, what are you doing? What's happening?
I think the idea was that he would be the only one to know what they needed to steal and what they needed to take with them. Because you're right, or else it makes no sense. You know, like there's that great moment when she does it to connect with the alien. And then later he says, you know, Tog's days, am I right? At such the worst time. And like you're like, oh god, yeah, like he's not a covert agent. He's really, really not.
It's really not. You're risking a lot to do this. So you must have some kind of safety net.
Yeah, definitely. And just the, I mentioned the word entrapment before, but I just want to say it again. Like, it's to me another mark against the New Republic, and also how little trust they have for these former Imperials, because, you know, I don't know what the court system on Coruscant is like, and maybe that's the point, but, you know, in every court system I know, if someone comes to you and says, hey, do you want to commit this crime with me? And you say yes, and then they arrest you, that's entrapment. Like, the law is not supposed to work like that.
Right.
And granted, it happens on our own world all the time because, hey, policing is not always the best. But the fact that, like, even, like, the Admiral Akbar guy, the Mon Calamari, who was just like, nope, it's okay, everything happened. And as we know, he got, like, mini mind flayed.
Right.
And he's not listening to him in the slightest. It was just like, oof, yeah.
He for a second, though, because when he said, you tricked me, I noticed that he, like, stopped and looked over at,
right,
at the girl. So yeah. I was like, oh, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, because there's no trial. There's no, like, process of, like, let's hear the evidence. It's just, nope, he got caught. So let's do the mind thing to him. And I mean, honestly, the happy-go-lucky attitude that the other guy has, I think, is a pretty good sign of this is mind control of some kind. Mm-hmm. It is some kind of, like, you know.
And who's in charge of this? Who signed off on this? Like, who's doing this in the Republic? Yep. I got questions.
Yeah. Because they do at least, I think part of what they show at the end, though, is that the Republic is doing it at a much lower level. And then it still has horrifying effects, but it's right. nowhere near as bad as the full personality wipe. But then, yeah, our friend Elia Kane just comes in and turns it all the way up to 11.
Yeah. Ken was like, oh, she's going to turn it all the way up. I was like, oh, yeah. No. But then it was really good to actually see, do you think he's going to come back? Do you think we're going to see what happened there with Pushpen? Or do you think that was kind of like a wrap for his story?
I think it's a rat. I think his name is Pershing.
Pershing.
If I'm remembering right.
What's his first name? I know it sounds.
It was something else with a P. Like,
sorry.
I want to say Pepe, but it's not at all.
Dr. Pushing.
Pen. I think it's
Pen. Pen. That's it.
Pen. Oh, but you're right. It might be Pushing, not Pershing.
Pen Pushing.
Pen Pushing, yeah. I don't know. I love the character. I really love the actor. I think, in a little way, I was a bit disappointed by that because I kind of hope that the story of what's happening to the former Imperials gets treated in another thing. There's a couple of different Star Wars stories that were also supposed to happen that I believe were also going to take place at this time period that wound up not, they got canceled or, you know, are going to get shifted around. And Kathleen Kennedy has said that some of the story ideas they had from that are going to get moved into other shows like Mandalorian.
Mm.
And I think that's part of what happened here. I think there was an idea that there was going to be a whole storyline about former Imperials in a different show. And so I hope that we get more of that story either in Mando or in some other project that's coming. But I think this is the end for the Good Doctor. I think he's being pretty well and truly lobotomized.
Yeah. And as much as I want that story, I also don't want that during my Mandalorian season because that's it's fair. Already so, you know, the seasons are short. The episodes go from 30 minutes to 50 minutes. Like,
yeah.
I don't want that in my, put it in Boba Fett.
Yeah. We'll see. I think it would have been better in its own thing. I think I'm excited to see how it will tie into Mandalorian because I'm sure that it will, but
it's going to be girl.
Yeah. As much as I loved it, I felt it was a little like, how does this tie in? So yeah. We'll see. But I just loved it because, to me, it tied in so much to what they're doing in the rest of this whole universe of all these things are slowly happening to put the pieces together to finally justify how Palpatine comes back and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
So, all right. Well, then, you know, then we
get back.
Meanwhile, back in the cult cave, as you discussed it, the
Mandalorian new version, cult cave,
the new version of the covert. So we get this great scene where Mando and Bo-Katan show up. And at first, Vizsla especially doesn't want them around, but they get proven to be, you know, they were redeemed in the waters and everyone's happy except for Vizsla glowers a little bit. I don't know how you can glower under a mask, but he's definitely glowering. What'd you think of that whole story?
I would loved it because, I don't know, I just liked, you know, again, they're under masks, so you can't see it. But like Bo-Katan was obviously physically you know, affected in a good way by being welcomed back into this new society, and she can leave whenever she wants to. But then everybody was like, you know, patting her shoulders. Whereas when she had first gotten there, they were like, ah, you're not real Mandalore. You get out of here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a real flip within 15 minutes for her. Yeah. But it seemed like she was kind of, you know, responding to it positively.
It's interesting. I had a little bit of a different take. I think there's definitely a lot of that positivity of being welcomed, which again can be like, oh, all my other people abandoned me. Maybe this is like a cool thing. And also just like, hey, cool, more people I can recruit. It helps if they think I'm part of it. But I do think she, I mean, I commented in another place where I talked about this, that my history as a pastor who was often the more progressive Christian, who very conservative ones would be like, oh, you're not a real Christian because you haven't done this, this, or this. And who I often counseled people like that, I get a little squirrely at the, well, you technically did our ritual, so you're one of us now. Especially because the whole point is that they have a creed.
Mm-hmm.
And creed comes from the word credo, which is I believe. Like, the whole point is that a creed is about what you believe. So the fact that they were like, well, you don't believe any of it, but technically you did it, so you're one of us, was a little like, you guys are have some hypocrisies here to work out. But I think you're right. I think she does appreciate it. I think she's
the whole time I thought she was going to take her helmet off in the middle of them saying all of it. So when she didn't, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe she can hang here until she figures out what to do now that her mansion was blown up.
Yeah. I think she's definitely decided to go along with it. And I think you're right. There is some of it she really appreciates. And I think, I mean, I like when I don't know where the story's going. Mm-hmm. Because I think you could show me a version of the story in which she becomes more of a child, more of like the Children of the Watch than anyone. Which, by the way, she was in the original Death Watch. So that isn't completely, like, I think there's a lot about this that would appeal to her, especially after the Darksaber stuff didn't work. But I also could see it as her becoming very uncomfortable with it, and her and Mando maybe to some extent like connecting because they both feel uncomfortable with their own group's kind of dogma. And I like that we don't know. I like that it's really going to depend on what happens.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel like that's the place for either of them to like stay. But right now it works. But it's not going to hold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. Well, I think that's about all I would say. Any other last comments you have about this episode?
No, not really. I think we covered all of it. I did like it, though, even if it got a little slow, but they picked it back up. It was cool to see the destroyers, however, in that whole like shipyard. That was cool.
Yep. Yeah. Seeing that ship kind of getting picked apart. And I thought the train was fun. And as a person who in a fairly delinquent youth, as a fairly delinquent youth may have occasionally ridden on trains that I wasn't supposed to by strategically knowing when the conductors were going to be collecting tickets, I did have a lot of sympathy for that moment. And like when they were about to jump off the train, I was like, come on.
That was ridiculous.
What the fact that she timed it, that there was like, she knew a place where there were like some padding to jump onto. I was like, okay.
Low point.
Still hard to believe, but okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's why I like having you on here so much, because I think it's great to have the different perspectives. Because for me, this is absolutely my favorite episode of this season, probably in my top three episodes of all of Mandalorian.
Like, oh, cool.
I just thought it was so, so good. But I like that we get both, because I also think you're right. It is kind of a departure from the kind of cowboy samurai-ness of a lot of the Mando till this point. And I think it's... I like the idea that Star Wars is going to say, look, we just have this whole wide galaxy of questions and stories and characters to explore in the post-Empire days. And I want them to do that, but I also want there to have some cohesion, you know? Because so we'll see. We'll see where it all goes.
We will see.
Well, Ashley, I'm so glad that I could get you on tonight, because I have the impression that you're doing a few other things these days. What is Ashley Coffin up to in the world of podcasting and videos and TikToks and all the rest?
Well, right now on Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater, we just covered Scream. And within probably the time that you're listening to this, we'll have dropped our review of Scream 6. We are still covering everything MCU over at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. And yep, that's about it. And then, you know.
A lot of great stuff. both of those are fantastic podcasts that you should definitely be checking out. All that can be found on strandedpanda.com, as well as just by following the show notes that we're going to put in the, along with all the comments we'll put in the show notes for this episode. Of course, this is an Ethical Panda. Of course, I am the Ethical Panda. You can find all the podcasts I do by going to theethicalpanda.com. There you'll find all the stuff about this podcast. You'll also find about superhero ethics, where we will have, we just did an episode with Danielle and Aaron about The Last of Us, which we'll be putting up there. Definitely worth checking out. But most importantly, we'd love your feedback. What do you think? Is this a great new direction for Mandalorian? Do you want to be more spaceships and cowboys and laser fights? What do you want? And what do you think of this episode? We'd love to hear your thoughts. All the ways to contact us you can find by going to theethicalpanda.com or looking in the show notes. I'm going to keep Ashley here for just a few more minutes as we're going to do a bonus section for patrons where we're actually going to talk a little bit about The Last of Us because superhero ethics and Star Wars are just crossing over each other all the time. For everybody else, though, thank you so much for being a part of this. We have spoken.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.